Okay. Everybody's present. Jean moved to adopt the agenda. Pat seconded. No opposed. Public comments? Looks.
I think I made my public comment about Bill.
Approved minutes from regular meeting of June 13th, 2020.
I'll approve.
I read them.
I'll second.
So it's on the page.
Huh?
So you can do it again.
Anybody opposed? Okay, the minutes are approved. Reports of officers and directors. Does anybody have anything they want to report on?
I do. The ink that you order from that company, it sucks.
Okay.
Wasted more money. I've thrown more cartridges out because they just, no matter what I do,
oh, wow,
it will not print.
Oh.
So only one. Well, I don't. Did yours work okay?
I haven't had to replace it.
Oh,
yet.
I've.
I had a bad rash of them from them too for a while.
I had one. So I got one. So I went ahead and ordered one from Canon to see if they work better. They're expensive, but
yeah.
It's going to balance out with throwing them away.
Well, the thing about it, though, from LD, all we have to do is call them and they'll send more.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. They're guaranteed. They replace them. No questions asked. They just send you more.
You don't send them back?
Nope. Yep. They don't even bother having them shipped back.
They already know that there's this track.
But I did have a rash of them and the problem went away. So it comes and goes depending on their supplier.
Yeah.
But
you should see me. I was so mad.
Yeah,
they're like a fourth
you.
Of the price, so I keep buying them.
Well,
because they're so
HP.
Much cheaper.
HP had sent me one and it wouldn't work.
Yeah, I've had a bad one from them too, but not too often.
No, you don't get it very
often. The Chinese ones don't work as well, but they're so cheap that.
But how do you get them?
Because the others are so expensive.
Yeah, $40 from Canon. For just one.
Plus, our new printer in here, the cartridge, or the toner for it is like $200 and something.
How long does it last? Yeah.
But you know, some of these, the cartridges are more than the printers were.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, in fact, for the Canon,
my printer costs $50, and the cartridges cost $50.
I got mine out and going. I just thought I'd let you know.
Oh, good.
But yeah, if you get bad ones, just holler, and I can call them up and tell them that they're bad, and they'll send us more.
Afterwards.
So far, they've never asked me to send any of them back. They just send me more. The problem I have is because I always buy the HPs, and I don't know why. I need to get away from HPs. HP changes their software regularly.
Yeah.
And then the cartridges won't work.
That's right.
Because they have a chip in them. And when they change their software, they send an update to the printer, and then the printer rejects all the cartridges.
Exactly. And then if they no longer uphold that printer that you've got and they take it off, nothing will work.
That's why I've got the one down there that's still sitting there. Now that I've learned, I need to revert back to the original programming unit. I found out how, and once you do that, then the cartridges will work again.
Oh, really?
Yep. But you have to unload the software update from it.
Oh, I have HPs, and I haven't had any trouble printing yet.
Yeah, if you use HP cartridges, they'll work. But if you use aftermarket ones, yeah.
Well, I have the HP in there because I couldn't get anything else to work.
I actually had to pry the little chip out of the HP one and glue it on the other on the Chinese one to put it in to get it to work.
Well, I get a discount. I went through HP. I get the discount, and I send them back, and then they'll send after so many they send back to send you a free one.
So I didn't know, but I'll have to find out how to do that.
Did anybody with an email address get a request for an audit?
I didn't.
No.
I knew she wouldn't send one.
I liked how you worded
that. She said she did, but
well, if it's there, I checked last night and I didn't have any.
No. They want an audit.
She has to pay for it.
Exactly. And wait till she finds out what it costs to do an audit.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll end it real quick.
Yes.
Yeah, because I know what an audit costs.
Yeah, we all do.
But
and Rita and I went ahead and finished up the newsletter, so they're going out Monday.
Okay, yeah, I never had a chance to even open.
So I figured that's that, so yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
And there shouldn't be any errors because I kept sending it,
there's
sending it back and
probably
forth.
More stuff we should add, but I haven't looked at it, so who cares? At least we're letting them know something.
Yeah, I think it's well written this time, and I appreciated the pictures of the grater and
put the grater in and a picture of the one you sent me with the branches loaded in the tree.
So for some reason I can't open up that.
I sent it to you again. because the first time I said I did a Randy, I forgot the attachment.
Yeah, I know. And the second time I got it.
It's hard to open it.
I couldn't open it. And you went down at the bottom, and it comes down at the bottom to open it. No matter what I did,
I know. I had the same problem. I can't remember how I solved it, but it will open.
You
have got to play with it, and then all of a sudden it goes, it's a sidebar type thing.
Yeah.
And it goes to the sidebar, and then you got to push that.
It's crazy.
And then you can go to print.
I'll work on it.
Is there any specific complaint why somebody was asking for an audit?
She just thinks that we're not spending the money wisely. And yet we had the nerve to raise the rates again.
Spending wisely, an audit's not going to have anything to do with that.
Right.
If you want to know how the money's being spent, you need to come to the meetings and voice your opinions.
I don't think she understands what an audit is, because she worded it on Sand Canyon public page. She wants an audit to know where the money's going or how it's being spent. And I told her, I said, come to a meeting.
Or if they want,
and she complained to her vet.
Send her the financials.
And a vet told her to come to a meeting and get involved.
Yeah, and we can send her financials. She can look.
Yep.
And that's there.
Yep.
She can have them anytime she wants.
Yeah. She's not interested. She just wants to complain.
She just wants to complain.
Because we raised it.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Okay.
Yeah,
well, speaking of financials.
Somebody asked me how much it's going to be next year. I don't know, 200 and something.
Mm-hmm, 20% more.
I didn't bother.
If that's what the board decides to do.
Right.
Yeah. It'll be another 20%. So add $34 and some change.
They're already griping about that. A little one.
She's the only one. Unless you've got complaints about bills you've received.
Well, she complained.
Who?
What is her first name?
Willima.
She complained. She said, it's just too much. I can't afford to pay that kind of thing. Wait till you get your next bill, lady. She's the one that asked me, how much is it going to be next year? And I said, it'll be up.
Yeah.
I said, that she could pay the $144 this time, but that next time... It would be up.
And they need to be, we just have to remind them, everything else goes up.
Right,
our costs go up too. Everything goes up.
Everything goes up.
And that's what I told her when she said that. I said, everything goes up.
Yeah.
But I don't, my income doesn't.
Well, they want all this stuff.
Mine either. Mine's been going down for years.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what we do.
So I just told her, do it this year and then be prepared next year.
Okay, well, we've got financial reports. I did them through the end of June for the second quarter. I didn't start on the ones for this quarter. I figure the next meeting we'll have will be in this quarter, or the end of, probably after the end of this quarter, so we'll do them then. So this is through second quarter. And really, it's the same as usual.
It's the same stuff.
But we've got the bank reconciliations, profit and loss, budget versus actual. So this is our new budget. In the fine print here somewhere, does it show the annual budget total? I'm not sure if it shows the total budget. I need to print a budget off for everybody. Yeah, I know. I need to print a budget off for everybody. I had to create it because it hadn't been done yet. But basically, it just took all last year's numbers, what we actually spent, and that's the budget this year.
Income by customer.
Right? That would be the payment.
Yeah, but mine's not even listed.
But if you want to get a magnifying glass out, then you can read it.
Yours has been put in.
That's why it is.
We've got the bank statements.
These are the ones that are sewed.
I don't know. I haven't gotten that page.
As of the end of June...
Oh, I'm doing this, I guess.
We had $72.29 in the checking. Or, is that right? That's the checking there, right? Yes, that's the checking. And the reserve had $37,783.
How did it get 37?
That was just before we bought the grader.
Yeah.
So it's a lot less than that now.
Yeah.
But that was prior to the purchase of the grader. The grader was right after the close of the quarter. Then there's the income by customer summary. That's the payments that had been received as of June 20th. June 20. So June 30th of 20. That was the payments that had been received up to that date. So there's been more come in since then. Now that they're starting to come in. And expenses through June 20th. Or June 30th of 20, I mean.
I have a question.
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
Okay. I don't either.
Because they're not making, these people are not making payments. The 170 to 80.
No, this is income. Got to remember, we're on an accrual basis. That does not mean that that's money we received. And what happened is we ran the finance charges. So most of these dollar amounts, that's the finance charge that's been charged for these people that are past due that we'll never collect.
They're all past due.
But it's considered income because we charged it.
That's right.
Okay, income.
Well, that's what
it's
income.
It doesn't mean we got any money.
Okay. Because I'm looking at it and saying, Jesus, my name, my lot's not there, but it's everybody.
But you can see a couple of them probably were payments, the 172.80s.
Yeah.
We got paid, but none of this has anything to do with money we received. This is what was billed.
Okay. Then everybody should be on there.
Because as a nonprofit, we have to use accrual accounting.
I haven't put yours in yet, though.
And then there's the check register. Up through, I went ahead and ran it through the end of August, so we can see what was spent. And that one does show the grader because you can see where we've spent $45,581 for the grader. So these balances are closer to what the balance is right now because these were as of the end of August.
What's the service charge on the bank?
Let's see. Interest there. Service charge.
It says
35. That was the wire transfer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because we sent that by wire transfer.
$35. Geez.
Oh yeah, because I occasionally have to do wire transfers for the water district. We pay $15 a month. Yeah, even the months we don't do a wire transfer. Yeah. Well, that's how banks stay in business now, because they don't make any money on money like they used to.
Right.
So it's all in charges. And then the general ledger, if anybody wants to get into the details of every single transaction. And there's where you can see, again, the accounts receivable. That's where all those finance charges show up, because they're all billed. So they're all considered receivables. They're now an asset, even though we'll never see it. And the grader shows up in here for an equipment purchase. And we still have construction in progress, which was the concrete. I need to move that into an asset now. That needs to be adjusted. It goes from construction in progress to an asset. And the general ledger takes up a whole lot of pages for nothing. But we're required to have it, and we're required to review it. You get back to about page 7, it actually starts showing some of the things like expenses.
Yeah. Yeah, that's better.
Yeah. So it actually has something in there that's
these things are just
got nice. Some meaning, but everything's the normal bills. And then finally we have the accounts receivable aging that we're required to produce every quarter. That shows all the outstanding assessments along with the interest that goes with them. And it's actually, I think that's a little bit lower number than it had been. We're finally getting some of these now that lots are selling.
Yeah.
People aren't happy, but they are buying.
Yeah.
Well, that's their problem.
Anyway, unless somebody has any questions, that's pretty much the financials.
So they're locked next to me. They're not paying on them, are they? 51.
Oh, I don't know.
It says $300 and some odd.
I thought it may have come in. Rings a bell.
Well, if nobody has any questions, does anyone want to make a motion to approve all the payments?
I'll make a motion to approve the payments.
I'll second. Oh, Jean will second.
Any opposed? All right. Then we have this one that's always on here, discussion, possible action on collection of delinquent assessments, liens, post-tax sale, and foreclosure. We discovered the hard way that once there's a tax sale, we can't collect on our past due assessments. other than, we still can collect on them. I shouldn't say we can't. We have to sue the property owner before, who didn't pay them, who isn't going to pay even if we sue them, so it doesn't really do us any good.
Wasted money.
Yeah. And
wasted time.
But the way that California has structured this, it's almost impossible for us to collect on anything anymore. So people quit paying, they just quit paying.
Yeah. No, they don't have to.
Unless the property has a house or something that gives it enough value to make it worth the legal fight that we have to go through to take the property.
Yeah.
But if it's just bare land, although that may have changed a little bit now, we may want to relook at this because property is selling. I mean, we've gone for 10 years without vacant land being able to be sold. That's changed here recently. Vacant land is selling.
But we can also collect on the liens, even if we don't take them to court, if they sell, other than a tax sale. Because we've collected quite a bit on...
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, we still need to keep filing the liens, just so we protect, so that if it does sell, we get it funded.
Right.
But as far as trying to collect on them, that's pretty much our only way of collecting is just waiting.
Waiting.
Right.
Because trying to collect on the liens is... Trying to foreclose and collect on the liens hasn't been worthwhile until, like I said, now that property's selling, maybe we need to look at some of the parcels. Maybe it's worth it.
Well, we need to foreclose on a couple, I think, so we have a nice office building.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is, too, we have to look at the what's owed in taxes. Because if we foreclose, we owe the taxes.
Right, yeah.
We're not like the tax sale where they get to wipe everything out.
Oh, yeah.
We take it, we have to pay everything.
Kind of a
catch-22. Yeah.
And is it, we have to wait, what, 2 years? Is it 2 years before you can?
2 years or $1,800, I think it is. 18.
That's about $1,800.
To foreclose.
To foreclose on somebody.
But to put a lien on it.
No, you can put a lien on, I think, right away, can't you?
I don't remember.
So many days.
Yeah.
So
I think
so
we can put
days.
The lien on whenever, as soon as it's not, hasn't been paid.
Right.
But we can't start foreclosure until it's either $1,800 or 2 years.
You get to $1,800 real fast.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, not really. That's about, you know, 7-8 years.
Well, you can't include late fees and that kind of stuff in the total. It's got to be...
Oh.
But, all right, I don't think we've got any action to take on that. We're all aware of it. We just need to figure out.
Yeah, but when are we going to figure out?
Yeah.
Do we hold a special meeting just for this?
Well, once we get to the end of November, we're going to have to decide on liens again for all the ones that haven't paid. We'll probably end up doing that around December or the next meeting after that. And I guess at that time, we probably need to go through what the old ones are and make a list again. And I'll look up all the back taxes so we know how much is owed on those lots. And then we can, by then we should know if property's going to keep selling and we can kind of get an idea of whether or not we should try and foreclose on anything. See if it looks like it's feasible that we could actually make any money out of it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
If we can get a vacant lot and then get one of those... buildings like from Tough Shed or something that we could make into an office.
Yeah.
They do have them that are like little houses.
A used construction trailer.
That would be good, yeah. That'd be real good because they probably have it set up with drawers and stuff.
Yeah. No, it's something for us to start looking at.
You really do need an office.
Yes, we do. And I think this may be a good time to try to do that. Now that we've got the grader behind us and we're start building our reserve back up, maybe we can afford to do something like that. Okay, well, that brings us to discussion, possible action on road repairs, street signs, equipment purchases, other maintenance needs. We all know that we got the grader. Now we just need to find time and water to start doing something with it.
Is one of our goals to get a water tender?
We need to eventually. Yeah. Problem is those have been selling for a pretty good amount of money at the auctions. I haven't seen any inexpensive ones in a while. But I'll keep looking.
Because Mike said he'd volunteer to drive that.
Yeah, eventually we're going to need a water truck. Or the option, you know, at least now that we have a grader, as long as we can get a couple of people that can operate it, we can grade after rain. and you don't need a water truck. We can take advantage of the of nature because it's here. We don't have to call somebody and have one delivered.
Right.
That's what we used to do is Google whenever it rained.
Mm-hmm. So we may be able to put off for a while having a water truck. Do you need a mask?
I got two.
Okay. No problem. But yeah, I mean, ideally, eventually it'd be nice to get a water truck to go with it. I have had a question about whether or not we want to rent the grader. Mountain Meadows typically rents a grader annually to do their roads. And usually they get Mike Bigley to operate it. So he asked the question if we want to rent the grader because we're close enough they could actually drive it over there instead of having to put it on a trailer. Because the cost to rent a grader for a week is around $4,000 or $5,000. Plus they have to pay to have it delivered and picked up. So it might be a way for us to build a maintenance fund for the grader by sharing the cost, you know, by renting it out.
It's a good idea.
Well, that's the pro side.
Yeah, there's, you know, we would definitely need to, if we were going to do that, we've got to come up with some kind of rental contract to hold us harmless, to make sure they've got insurance, and to make sure they're going to cover any damages.
That's what I was
thinking. So that would have to be put into place, but that's not impossible. I mean, we can get a boilerplate rental agreement to do something like that if that's what the board decides they want to do.
They can drive the grader all the way over to Golden Hills?
Oh, yeah, it'll drive. That thing will run.
Golden Hills,
Mountain Meadows.
Wow. High Line.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, it runs about 30 miles an hour.
Oh, okay.
So it's not bad. Yeah, it's not bad.
Okay.
So again, that's something the board might wish to consider as a way to
help
offset some of the operating costs without having to keep raising our assessments.
Yeah, we're not going to provide diesel or anything like that for them.
No, they would have to take care of everything. And what we have is the wear and tear on the machine, which is significant.
Yeah.
But, you know, if we rented it for a little less than market value, that should cover our maintenance needs.
So what would you suggest would be the rental?
Well, we need to find out what they usually pay and then tell them, you know, maybe 75% of what they normally pay and they come get it type thing. They may be interested because I know they work on a shoestring too.
Yeah.
Mountain Meadows, I've talked with them before, and I know they work on a shoestring. So they're always looking at ways to ways to save a few dollars. And again,
same with us.
Join forces and share some of these resources.
Yeah.
In fact, they have a water truck.
Oh,
yeah.
So there may be some kind of a bartering system that we could work out here too.
That's right. Drop it down to 50% if they let us use their water truck.
Mm-hmm. So there may be some ways that we can share resources and both of us can do roads. And they may be willing to share some information too on their roads because they've been doing road maintenance for quite a while and they've done more than we have. So they may have some insight that may help us. You can apply for this grant or, you know, things like that.
Yeah, things that we don't know about.
So it might be good for somebody here to meet with them and, you know, hey, want to share resources. And we may be able to start working together a little bit more. And you know, they may even want to share some of their help and we can share some of ours. So that we kind of learn from each other and... So there's some possibilities.
There's a good thing on sharing and caring here.
Yeah. So it's there are some possibilities. So it's something for the board to consider.
We ought to consider pretty soon because we're finally going to get in. Not this month, but next month we should get some water.
Yeah. And the thing about it, like I said, they're sounded like they were getting ready to do their grading now. So that's something that if we want to do it, we would need to do it soon. But maybe what we need to do is just have somebody go and meet with them and see what they would like and see if it's something viable and see if we can come up with anything like that where they loan us water truck, we loan them grader, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It may be that it's that simple. We just exchange equipment so that we can both get our stuff done.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And without it, any money changing hands, that would make it real simple for everybody.
Yeah.
And they borrow the grader, we borrow the water truck.
Isn't that the point of renting it out, is to build up our...
Yeah.
But again, at the same time, if we're building it up and then we're spending it to rent a water truck, it's the same thing.
And then what happens with all the extra hours on the grader breaks down and...
But then they have the extra hours on their water truck.
On their water truck.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, there is a big difference.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, this is the conversation that we would need to have with them, and then see what we come up with.
The water truck isn't going to cost $44,000.
No, it doesn't cost as much as a grader. So
we need to rent the grader with some finance.
Yeah, and again, like I said, this is the kind of conversation somebody needs to sit down with them and see what they're willing to do and what would work.
Because they wouldn't be using their water either.
Right.
And so we'd be paying for our water.
Mm-hmm. So if somebody would like to take the lead on that and have I've got the phone number of the manager.
You know, we need somebody who's more knowledgeable than I am.
Well, that makes two of us.
That's three.
I would do it with Joan if Joan wanted to do it, because you're pretty knowledgeable about stuff. But it's...
Well, I mean, what we need to start with is just a conversation with them. Are they interested in doing anything?
Yeah.
And what kind of things would they be interested in? And, you know, we're responsible for roads. They're responsible for roads. That both organizations, they're a government entity, so theirs is a little bit different than ours.
So they're not an HOA?
No, they're a government. They're a community services district.
Oh, okay.
But their only function is, as far as I'm aware, is roads, just like us. So, but they are a government entity, so they have different requirements on, you know,
well,
some...
Give me the number and I'll give them a call.
Yeah, and it's just something that maybe we can share resources, but we need to start the conversation to see what they're interested in.
Right.
And see if it's anything that's viable for us. Yeah, I can get you the number for them and we can see what they can do. On street signs, I've got the stop signs. I had been waiting to order the poles because I was trying to work it around a trip to LA so we could save on freight. I don't know when I'm ever going to get to LA, so I'm going to order them and we'll pay the freight and get the poles here for them.
Yeah.
So we can get street signs, so we can get stop signs up.
Are any of our poles viable that we can use?
Probably. If they're there, we can reuse them.
Okay.
But if we're putting new ones in, I would just, you know, we might as well get the ones. What I'm getting is the U-type channel poles that they use for road signs. They'll be tall enough to meet the standards. I've got to look the standard up again because I forgot what it was. And then we'll either buy short ones, or what I'm thinking is we'll buy a few extra long ones. I can cut them into thirds. To make a pole that you drive into the ground, so you're not trying to stand in the back of a truck trying to get to the top of the post.
Yeah.
So you drive the short one into the ground and then you bolt the other one to it, and now you've got your pole up. And if it gets bent or something, you just unbolt it and bolt another one on it instead of having to dig it up and put another post in.
So is that what you're going to do with the sign on the corner of Morgan and Sunview? The one that got...
That's what I'm saying. That
scrunched.
Well, it also says stop on both sides, which is...
No. The one by Jim's house.
Oh, Jim's house up there. Yeah, that one got
bent. I think it was a motorhome back then.
But those are all real low, and that's what
I
was concerned about.
Right, that's real low, too, so I was going
to
say.
Yeah, they're supposed to be about 7 feet tall.
Yeah.
Well, almost all of the ones that I... Like the one on Country Canyon?
Oh, the one right there on Pasture is pathetic.
Yeah. But they're all pretty low, and he
exactly.
ordered the big signs.
Yeah.
And that's why I say we'll get the signposts, and that way we can...
So I think we're going to have to
If they're not high enough, then we'll just replace them.
The one that you can see on both sides, we did have a comment.
I was going to get enough posts to do all ten signs. If we don't use all the posts, that's not a problem. We'll use them someday.
Right.
But, you know, I was going to order 10 of the posts just so we've got enough to do all of them.
Yeah.
And then we just...
That's one thing we've been wanting to do, but
right.
we don't have posts.
No, I'll get the posts coming. I was thinking about it last night, and I don't know when I'm going to go back down there. I just got too many things going on.
Yeah. Hanging those big signs, because our signs are not the big ones.
Right.
So I can't imagine hanging those big signs on those little posts.
Those
are going to be
yeah.
like...
Yeah, they'll be on the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why they're supposed to be about 7 feet high.
Well, we're going to have to move them in, too, because the ones we have are right on the side of the road, and
yep.
the signs
I'll print out the suggested locations for those for signs, so we can try and start doing them the way that the way Caltrans says that they want them. We don't have to comply with all of Caltrans' rules, but the more of it we comply with, the less liability we have.
Exactly.
Because we're following state standards. That's not our fault.
I know what streets they go on, but I also know that the ones that are posts that are up are going to have to be taken out and moved.
Yeah.
And they're cemented in, some of them.
Yeah, a lot of them, we can just cut them off at the ground.
Yeah, probably get a tractor in the end from that.
Yep, we can do that too.
We need to get started on that.
Let's see. Any other signs and stuff that we need to deal with?
I don't think the signs are doing any good where it says not to race around. Those people you said were racing around that you could hear on your side, mm-hmm. I now can hear on my side. Mm-hmm. And a little car goes zipping up and I think,
like you said, we need a sign. They don't have to read it. Mm-hmm. They can see if we get a big enough sign with a no, you know. Yeah. Then they can't use, because I've never really stopped and read all those little tiny friends on the rule sign.
Yeah, sites are some misspelled words on there, which is ridiculous. But we need some signs that there is no off-roading.
Right.
At all.
That's fine.
The noise and the dust,
Yeah, it's crazy.
And the reason we can use on there, I guess, but if we wanted to put no off-roading, dust control or something like that, because that really is what's causing
it. Just something basic, but big enough that they're not going to miss it.
Yeah. I think it should be.
Because those rule signs are kind of spooky. Yeah.
We need to have it right as they come into our
both area. Sides, yeah.
Yeah. On both sides, because the one on the other side.
So how many signs do you think we need?
Oh, we at least need one on Sunview, and we need one on Sand Canyon.
Yeah, I think.
Right at Sunview.
Yeah. So maybe two.
Just two?
Start with two. If they come into our area, that's how they get in.
Right.
There's no other way to get in.
No other way to get in.
So.
Well, I'll look and see what I can find in the sign that's somebody else has already designed, so we don't have to go through all that.
Right.
Find something that somebody's got out there. And I'll get a couple extra poles, too, so we'll have... Because you can't mount anything else on a stop sign post, except a stop sign.
Yeah.
I do remember that from looking through their rules. Okay,
I don't know if this should go under roads or what, but we've set some rules in place. We need to start enforcing them. Mm-hmm. My new neighbor, Ross from Audrey, his SUV broke down and it's been sitting there with the hood up for about 2 weeks now. And I told Audrey we'd give him a pass. She said she was going to say something to him, and it's still sitting there, because he's new.
Will it run? Can he get it off the road?
I guess not.
Well, he's got to have a tow pole then.
I don't want to approach him because there's already bad blood between him and Mike.
He can fix it himself, but it looks like it's the alternator.
Well, he needs to either get it off the road or fix it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We approached Jeb, and he immediately took care of his parking on the roads. And another thing is, he did a really nice thing for Donna Manners next door. He graded, smoothed off her driveway, and he put all the shit in our road. Pardon me. I mean, it's all lumpy and bumpy now on unstable.
Well, that'll go away when we grade it.
He did a nice thing for me, too. He smoothed out my driveway.
Yeah, but he's leaving a mess on our road.
Good.
Yeah. That's no good.
No.
Okay.
I know something we need to pick up.
If you have a chance to draft a letter, we should make up a form letter that you have, we've noted that you have a vehicle parked on the road. Please remove it in so many days.
Right.
Or the association will take further action, and I'll be happy to sign it and put it in the mail.
Okay.
Isn't it
that way you don't have to be the bad guy.
Right. Are they allowed to park on there? We don't complain for 72 hours?
It's 72 hours according to our rule.
Yeah, and that's what we should do, is just reference the rules. Right. You have a vehicle that's in violation of the association rule.
Number, blah, blah,
right.
Blah.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what it reads.
Yeah, you know, in fact, put warning across the top. Yeah, we can do that.
But the only trouble is, we don't have a current address for him.
I can look it up in the tax records and get whatever the tax address is.
I think it's still Wisconsin. Because that's the address that was on the deed.
With any luck, that's what he's having the mail forwarded. It'd just take another week to get to him.
But where is it going forwarding to?
Well, he's got to have an address.
He needs to update.
Right. Well, we'll be sending those notices out here real soon, too, that we need everybody's contact information.
Current information, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that should go out with a newsletter.
Well, we could.
Probably wouldn't be a bad thing, because that if we get it out with the newsletter, just include it with the newsletter.
Yeah.
That way, maybe we'll have updated addresses by the time we send the year-end stuff.
Well, I'll just do the old one. I'm not going to do that fancy one that you did that already had their information done for them.
I'll look.
Way too much work.
I might be able to just reprint those.
Well,
because it's a mail merge.
Are you going to be able to update?
We did an updated mailing list, so yeah, because that's where it pulls it from.
Yeah, but if you have it already there, people should just glance at it.
That's true. It may be better off sending a blank one.
Put a blank one in so people have to see it.
We did it as simple as possible.
That's right.
Yes.
If everything, nothing's changed, check the box.
Just hit this box if nothing has changed. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fine.
You said you were doing an updated.
Again, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because
there's so many new people.
The escrow on Buckley's lots, I believe, is closed. I haven't received the deed yet, but I believe that's closed.
I found all Buckley's information that both days.
That poor woman had the worst luck. God.
Yeah.
And I think that was it.
And then we know we need to start doing some pothole repairs. We just need to, now that it's cooling off a little bit, we need to try and coordinate when people have some time available.
Right.
And we can get some of this cold patch that's still sitting out here into the holes.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we've always gone, or we've wanted to get it in there and pack it in and all that. I think what the county did seems to be working pretty good. Just put the oil down in the hole first, put the cold patch on it, let everybody drive and pack it in.
Yeah.
Yeah, there'll be a little bit of a dip, but we could do a lot more of them if we're not trying to do them perfect.
Right.
And at least we could fill in a lot more holes a lot quicker.
Well, there's no point trying to do them perfect, because
it's going
to
come like that.
It's
gonna
right.
Come right. It'll come right out and bite you.
That oil?
No, in fact, yeah.
That oil that you have, is it viable? Can we use it?
Yeah. That's,
if we can figure out how to get it into a truck?
Mm-hmm. Well, we can get it into a truck. I can lift it up there with the tractor.
Is there any way of getting it out?
I need to order a couple of valves for those. You know, we can use a regular valve, but they get gummed up and they don't work very well. I need to get the sliding ones they make for doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I need to order a couple of those. And that's all you need to do. You just put a valve on it and put it on its side in the back of the truck.
I have a question. How do you put it in when the thing is full?
How do you
punch
put
a hole, it's going to put that valve in there. If you punch a hole.
Well, you do it while the drum is sitting on the ground. You put the valve in, then you lift it up and turn it on its side so it'll run out.
Okay, I'm sorry. Well, I didn't know where the valve went.
Yeah.
Well, it goes in the hole in the top.
On the top.
And then you turn it on its side.
Well, it's got a hole in the top.
So. Yeah, then you turn it on its side.
Okay.
But yeah, that way we can start
getting.
Get
the valves, we can start. Well, we've got the cold patch, that cold patch. Where do we get more cold patch?
Mm-hmm. Call and order it. We have to buy it.
Yeah.
But we've got, there's quite a bit out here.
Yeah,
we can fill quite a few holes.
I don't know. Yeah.
I think that's something that, you know, as we start building our reserve back up, even before a water truck, we should probably start looking at those quotes that we had before about putting cold patch on the road here, putting a couple inches of cold patch and actually rolling it.
Yeah.
To resurface this road. Because if we did that and it held up for a year or two, we could even consider then putting blacktop on top of it. But because that would give us some kind of a base.
Yeah.
You can't put asphalt on it right now because if it's uneven, the asphalt will be uneven.
That's right.
So it doesn't do any good. But the cold patch you can make smooth. And then we have a smooth surface, we can think about asphalting it in the future.
Yeah.
Did you find the roller? Did you say you found the roller?
I think it's at Marcus and Bill's.
Yeah, that's one of the things with the grader now. If we go out there and just fill the holes and we take the grader and we level them off, the holes holes and just spread it out, then you drive over it a few times to the grader, it compacts it pretty well.
Yeah, it's pretty heavy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that thing's heavy.
And that's what Kern County did. They just take a dump truck and put the cold patch over the hole and ran the grader over to smooth it out and pack it down.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, Bob's got the siding to that for the protection for that before the storms come in, but.
Hey, any other maintenance needs anybody can think of?
Well, I just know that the drainage we put up there by Audrey's, we need to get caps on those.
Oh, on the post. I have the caps somewhere. I got to find them. I bought them. I just never got back up there.
Well, I can put them on. I just don't have them.
Yeah, I have 4 caps somewhere floating around.
Find them, bring them.
Yeah, I will. I'll get them to you so we can put caps on those.
I almost bought some, and I thought, well, I thought you said you had them. So.
I did, but they're cheap.
Oh, I know they are.
Okay. And then we still have on here discussion and possible action to fill vacant positions. It's not a real crisis right now. We do need to get the end of year paperwork out, and I don't know when I'll have time to work on that, but we're going to have to real soon. It'd be nice to get somebody on board that could start learning this and doing it that we could pay so that they could actually get it done. And next year, we're going to have to hold an election again.
Yeah.
And I don't think any of us really want to do that, and I don't think we'll find anybody that's going to do that for us. So we are going to want to get somebody on board soon that we can use, hopefully, to be the inspector of elections and all that kind of stuff. So.
Yeah, we do.
We don't have to do anything this minute, but we all need to get that in the back of our mind.
It's kind of hard when you don't have anybody that'll run.
Yeah. Well, I know. We probably won't have an election, but we have to still do everything
for one. You got to go through the motions.
Yep. We sure do. Donette,
so much money wasted.
Donette did say she would be willing to, so something we could keep in mind, and that we'd have to work with her on what she wants for pay to do it. But at least it would give us the opportunity to push some of this stuff off on somebody else that's actually getting compensated to do it. Instead of us having to do everything in our spare time.
Yeah, has some of the knowledge too.
Yeah. It still leaves us to have to oversee it all, but at least we don't have to be responsible to get it done. We can get some help. And then that brings us to 10, which is discussion and possible action to prepare year-end statements. I threw this on here just because everybody needs to be aware we got to start putting that stuff together again. I haven't even looked to see what we've got to do because it's been a year since we did it. I don't remember. I still have to get a letter off to IRS to change our year-end to meet our new bylaws because it says, you know, we're now on a fiscal year. I just left it alone for this year because we haven't done it yet, so we're still on the old end of year. But when we change that, then that'll change too. At least we don't have an audit requirement anymore.
Well, isn't some of that just stuff that we can, I mean, it's...
It all has to be updated every year. That's the problem. Like, I've got a huge spreadsheet that I track all those costs and everything that we have to give everybody, the budget and all that. It's a huge spreadsheet, but I have to update it each year and move all the numbers. That's one of the headaches, you know. There's several hours worth of work getting it, but some of it is boilerplate. It's the same stuff. It's the bylaws and all that kind of stuff. That's just, you know, printed again. The main thing is that budget deal that I have to do, that or maintenance projection or whatever it's called.
Are you gonna pay to have it printed? Because that's a whole lot.
Yeah. It's a whole bunch of paperwork. It takes my printer a while. Of course, by the time you run to town and have it printed too, it's a pain either way.
Well, you split them up, I'll print some out.
But, you know, I think everybody was kind of, the way we did it this last year where I did it on the 11 by 17, I think it looks more professional. So the more professional things we present, the less people question.
That's true.
It's a fact.
It is a fact.
You give somebody something that's obviously ran off on a cheap copier, and what's this?
They're going to examine it with a
right.
fine-tooth comb.
You give somebody something that looks yep. professional, it and must be okay.
It's okay.
Uh-huh.
They know what they're doing.
Did you pack it on the...
Yeah, I think so.
Because all I remember is the new bylaws and that stuff being...
Okay, maybe I didn't. But I would suggest that that's how we try and do it, just because, again, the more professional it looks, the less people ask. That's why I do our consumer confidence report on 11 by 17, and you know, it comes out a nice little packet, and nobody ever questions it.
Yeah. Well, you know yourself, even if some people, you have five or six people, and somebody gave something that just, and the other one, you're going to say, well, that'll go, we'll go with this one.
Uh-huh, that's human nature.
It's human nature.
Mm-hmm. That's what I've told everybody for years, you know, even if you don't know what you're talking about, you have to talk like with confidence, so and people buy it. Whether it's bullshit
you can say,
or not.
You can yeah. say nothing and they'll buy it.
Yeah, you have to speak with confidence, and then... Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right. That's a fact.
That is a fact.
So it's all in how you present things. So that's why I always try and, you know, with our stuff, try and put the best thing we can out, and people take it, you know, at face value that way.
Well, that's why we put a little mountain on there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Exactly. The more professional everything looks, the less people question it. Yeah.
How many new people do we have? Do you know?
That are actually living up here, or the owner?
New owners.
New owners. Well, that makes more sense. That was a dumb question.
I know I keep getting things from Chicago, which is
at least six.
That's, yeah, that's I'm about right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that lady that's up on Equestria.
I couldn't believe how fast everything was selling. Have you ever seen anything like that?
No.
Boom, we have more boom. Requests than I've ever seen.
Who bought that lot next to Scrogan? He's in.
I know it's up for sale. Yeah, I don't.
155. I think it's 155. Yeah. Bob called on it, and the guy said it was
155 was sold.
Yeah, I was wondering who bought it.
New owner. Yeah.
Because I think that's right across from. Well, mine's 153 and then 155. And I was just wondering because when he called on that.
Yeah,
to make an offer. I don't know why he wants property, but anyway, they said there was three offers and they were going to sell it that day, and by gum, they did.
Yeah.
That sign went down.
Yeah, it's the corner lot across.
Yeah.
Well, you get three offers, you're definitely going to sell it.
Yeah, it sold, and...
Because if somebody wants it a little more than the other person, they'll say, I'll take it.
Yeah.
Believe me, and it was nice when they have
the people have shown up. They've come.
I only had one short time on when I was in real estate where it was going like that, especially in land.
Yeah.
And you couldn't get land fast enough in order to sell it. Then you could sell anything. I mean, people would buy. I said, you don't want to buy this. It's a slant. There's nothing there. I mean, I have to tell them. I mean, and I wrote it down in there, which they decided to anyway. Explain to them that.
Yeah.
Any requests for future agenda items?
We talked about, we've set rules, but we've never set what amount they should be fined.
Most of the new rules we've written, we have. There's actually that's one of the sheets that goes out every year. There's a list of penalties.
Oh, there is?
Yeah. Yeah.
How come we don't know that? I don't know.
It's in there.
Penalties.
It's in the fine print.
Oh, fine print.
Yeah, I think most of the rules that we've adopted, I've put in there the penalties that go with them.
Oh,
because having a rule without a penalty is
worthless.
Yeah,
having a rule at all.
I don't know.
Now, some of the old rules that you know were in the thing, they never did, and some of those we haven't rewritten yet. Like the no off-road vehicles, we haven't rewritten, so there are no penalties. Pretty hard to do them anyway for us. We don't have a policeman to.
Right.
You know, but because the only thing we can do is we can put a penalty assessment on people's property. That's the only penalty we can enforce.
Oh, I can't give.
So it
problem.
Has to be the person committing or breaking the rule has to be a property owner or a property owner's guest, where it's the property owner's responsibility.
That's right.
Oh, and try to find out who the property owner's guest.
We have to be able to identify who it is, and then we have to be able to prove it. So it gets difficult on assessing the penalties. Now, somebody parking their car in front of their, on the street in front of their house for more than 72 hours is pretty easy.
Yeah.
We can do those.
Well, we do have that sign that's...
Oh, the little placard.
Yeah, that little placard.
But the off-road...
We could take that up to that guy that's off.
We should if we haven't yet. That would be the first step.
Yeah.
Just stick that on there and see if that helps. See if it gets rid of it. I forgot about that. That would probably be the first step.
That would be the good, a good start.
Well, I'll let you drive by because, like I said, there's bad blood.
Yeah, no,
bike, and I don't want any.
Yeah, no, that's all right. I don't mind.
But yeah, the penalty, like for the off-road vehicles, the penalties are difficult unless we can actually track it back to a property owner. That's they're coming from their property, and we'd have to get pictures.
A couple times I've been tempted to jump in my car.
But we would have to get pictures of that.
Yeah.
But anybody else that just drives into the track, we can't do anything to them. We have no... The only thing we can do is call CHP to come out and write them a ticket. Good luck.
Well,
but that's a big
might. That's the way they are now.
We put up those signs that
the vehicle code is enforced, but we would have to get CHP to come out here and enforce it because we can't enforce the vehicle code.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
Yeah,
we can't get them to come out when we need them.
Anything else for agenda?
Nope.
Okay, with that, if somebody wants to make a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Any opposed?
Nope.
Okay.
I think what happened to you?